You're too good to not to believe.
Too good to not
and God the family, come on, let's give God the praise. Give him the glory. Give him all the honor. Nobody like you, Lord. In all the earth, there is nobody like you. In all the earth, there is none like you. There is none that can be compared with you. Jesus, be glorified. Father, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. To be, we are what you've made us to be, and we give you all the glory. The kingdom belongs to you, and the glory belongs to you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we just honor your presence. And then what can we say? Father, your plan of salvation has been the most awesome plan. That you can take us from the highways and you can take us from the byways. Take us from the back streets, take us from the highest places of affluence, and you bring us to Calvary and you make us sons and daughters of the Most High God. Can you just welcome Father God and give him all the glory? Give him all the honor, give him all the praise. It's wonderful, you're wonderful. Abba. Father, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lamb of God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Greetings in Jesus' wonderful name. Can you give the worship team a hand of praise for just leading us? Amen. And everybody, that those that are watching us on the stream, we're asking you to do the same. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. The Lord richly bless you. Greetings in Jesus' wonderful name. That name that is above every other name. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what name there is on. So last night of the conference, I would just want to honor the said family of the house, Prophet Leon and Prophetess. Lord bless you. God bless you. God bless you. It's nobody like Jesus. Amen. It's good. Thank you for having me. God richly bless both of you. Your children, God bless them. Amen. As a family, we honor you and we thank God. The younger the generations are that are busy, hungry, being hungry for God, it gives us the hope the church has got longevity in it. See, it's not just eternity in heaven, it's how long Jesus wants us to be on the planet. If he came tonight, it'd be a very sad night because there'll be many that would not go home. But we want everybody to find Christ, amen? Want everybody to get to know him. I mean, why not get to know somebody that thinks you're not just worth dying for, but that you are worth thinking about 24/7. I mean, God's mind is full of us, church. You know, when you fall in love, you know, for those guys that know what it is to fall in love, you know how you think about the person you love? Oh, thank you. Is this a double anointing? Okay. Thanks, Chris. When you fall in love with somebody, your mind is full of them. The day I fell in love with Roji, my mother thought, there's something terribly wrong with me. You know that kind of feeling when you're in love? You're supposed to make hot water for the cup of tea. The kettle boils, but you're walking with it to the toilet, you know. And my mother would say to me, have you found a woman? I would say to her, no, let's not go there. You know, you're not so bold at the time. I said, no, let's not go there. He says, do you know the strange things you're doing? You see, people who've fallen in love with Jesus just don't care. Just don't care. People who are still trying to find a church. But when you fall in love with Jesus, look at Jesus. Jesus says to Peter, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. No, no, you can't feed the sheep, Peter, unless you love me. You can't sing in the worship team unless you love me. You can't even come and preach, Neville, unless you love me. You can't even think I'm going to have this major breakthroughs unless you love me. And then if you can love me, love God, fall in love with the Father. I remember when Jonathan Butler came up with a song. I'm not so sure if it's his song, but Jumper came up with a song, Falling in Love with Jesus. And I tell you something, it made you really know there's something bigger. Let me tell you, there's something bigger than revelation. There's something more powerful than purpose. It's called meeting God. When you have an encounter with Him, it just doesn't matter. So tonight I want you to know, just to set the atmosphere right. You see, God, the Word of God is clear. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. So that means I need Jesus. Then the Bible says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, which means I need the Holy Spirit. Then you get to a place where then angel says to Mary, with God, all things are possible. So the Father makes impossibilities possible. And we cannot do without Him. Great meetings is when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is in the business of bringing transformation to people. All these meetings we've had over these couple of nights, it's the awesome presence of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit never moves without Jesus. Jesus never moves without the Holy Spirit. And the Father is the origin for everything to happen. So tonight I'm going to talk to us very briefly, hopefully. We can get you out before tomorrow morning. Eskom will have to obey. But in any case, I just want to talk to us about how God works with the Holy Ghost. You see, if you go to the original intent of how God works with the Spirit of God and how Jesus works with the Holy Ghost, you'll be able to know how you should be aligning yourself to do exactly the same. But unless you understand how God operates, I'm just one of those folk that always want to get to the origin of a thing. You see, in the original intent of God, God doesn't text me. God doesn't write to me. The original intent of God is the voice of God. God speaks to us. That's why if you want to impact somebody on your cell phone, don't text them. They might hate you, even though they text you that they love you. But if you hear the voice, you will hear the emotion. You will hear really where they are at, really. So when God writes the Ten Commandments, He's humbling Himself to your level. Writing is a sign of a fallen nature. The original intent is we speak. That's why God speaks panim to panim or face to face. And anybody who speaks behind your back is not going to make it in heaven. Because it's against the nature of the Father. That's why everybody who never comes to say, how can I help you? They are on very dangerous soil. I will travel, I'll fly to make things right with a brother if I know I've ought against him or he's got ought against me. Why? Because our kingdom has no distance in it. There's only one breaking of bread table in the world. There's not 10 of them. No, when we break bread, there's only one table. And sometimes you need some enemies to have an anointing. We're going there tonight. I've set a table, oh, I can feel the presence of the Lord. Isn't it amazing that God wants to show off with you? Really? I've set a table before you where, Lord? In the presence of your enemies. And I have anointed your head with oil. Where, Lord? In the presence of your enemies. You need some enemies to step into some levels of the anointing. And sometimes you should thank God that sometimes you have a Judas in your team. Oh, yes. Because Judas will push you into your destiny. Don't get hassled by them. The more opposition flares up, the more it affirms your position. So by the grace of God, hey, Prophet Leon, thank you, man. I've had a wonderful time of fellowship with you and the leaders. So wonderful. So awesome. Thank you. How does God work with the Holy Spirit? Tonight you must make notes or just get the copy from the stream, etc. Because I'm going to go through some areas that goes back to the original intent of the Father. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Let's go the very well-known portion of Scripture. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Somebody say, the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Three areas. God, and you could have heard this before. Sometimes we got to repeat these things because sometimes the message is only a message when you become the message. Because you don't have time to find a Bible when somebody needs deliverance. You got to be the Bible. You got to have the "it is written" on your heart. And sometimes you got to be so full of the Word of God that the Holy Ghost can treat you like an artisan with a toolbox. And he says, I want that word to come out of you for that situation. He must have the liberty to say, Neville, there's so much word in you that I tell you, I can take you wherever I feel it's comfortable. I can transport you like a Philip coming out of a deacon bringing revival in a city. And I can take you from there as a deacon and make you the evangelist. And I can take you from there by the Spirit without worrying about how much money is going to cost you from going from Samaria into the desert. No, listen, we are living in the same period with the same God, same Jesus. That's why you can get shocked when John G. Lake leaves Johannesburg and casts out the devil in the UK without leaving the prayer meeting. The problem with God today and us in our relationship, maybe in mine just as much, is that it's not about sinning, it's about unbelieving. I'm his son, but I just don't believe that he can take me tonight while I'm preaching and put me down in Iraq or Iran or into Pakistan and to bring the message of power in that space, because I'm so trapped by a concrete jungle that I don't think I can leave. And you know what the problem is? The world wants to try and tell us that is like the satanic part of, you know what, I mean, astral projection. For heaven's sake, it is not even close to the original intent of God. I mean, I don't know what they will say to Philip, but God is the anointer, the Father. All authority and power comes from the Father. The Father is the origin of every blessing you have. And then he's chosen to bring that blessing to you through Jesus of Nazareth, whom he anointed with the Holy Spirit. So the Father is the anointer. Jesus is the anointed. The. I want you to get that. It's not a anointing or an anointing. It's the anointing. Because the means it's special and there's nobody like it. He is the way, the truth, the life, the Christ, the resurrection. Everything about Jesus has the defining article in front of it to, in other words, say, I'm one of a kind and there's nobody else like me. But if he said he is an anointed one, I can find one of many. But when he says he's the anointed one, that means there's only one of him on the planet. That's why all of us in the building are not the anointed one. You am anointed one. Because you carry the anointing of the anointed one. And that's what makes you deadly and dangerous if you get to understand how God operates with the Holy Ghost. But then God anoints Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not oil, brethren. Neither is he a bird. If the Holy Ghost was a bird, I'm an aeroplane. Do you understand? We tend, in bodily form, he came on Jesus, man. He has form. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows where you were born. He knows the hours you go through. And then he's got to watch that without you even saying good morning, because you don't have a relationship with him. But when you have a relationship with him, there are two brethren I'm going to pray for tonight here that I picked up on the Zoom meeting the other night, and the Holy Ghost just brought them back again today. What am I saying to you? It's the essence of relationship. The anointing is never about instructions. It's about relationship first. That's the anointing. It says, well, I think the scripture is not meant for the church. The church likes just that first part. I'm anointed. Hey. But who went? Who went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil? You cannot think you're going to move with God and move past demonic manifestations of sickness, disease, and everything that puts people down and ignore it. The Holy Ghost will never ignore it. I share a testimony with you here in Mall of Africa. I'm staying at one of the hotels that's close by there, and I decide, Lord, it's dangerous to walk around nowadays, because there's other people who don't want to work. They just want to take what you have. But I just decided the best place to walk and get my exercises going, because I, like my grandchild would say, Pa, you look like a wheelbarrow. So it just shows the goodness of God, my baby. Pa's not fat, it's just obvious. It's okay. So so I walk in the mall, and I'm up and down in the mall praying. It's nice getting there at 7 o'clock when the shops are closed. At least you don't have to spend anything. So I walk around, and I'm walking and walking, and then the Holy Spirit says to me, you don't believe Jesus is in you. And I said, really? I carried on walking. And this, I tell you, you don't believe Jesus is in you. I got on my knees by the first bench I got, cried out to the Lord, how is it possible after so many years that I don't believe? You know better than me. And the Lord said to me a second thing. I'm going to convince you, you don't believe Jesus is in you. I got up, folk, you don't want to pray at that moment. You just feel terribly disjointed, because the one you love is being challenged by whether I do believe he's in me. It's nice to say, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But do you believe he's in you? How is it you become backslidden with a greater one in you? How come you make other things more powerful than the one who's greater in you? And those were the thoughts that went through me. Because how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, which means he anoints natural people for supernatural things. He didn't say Jesus the Christ. He says, no, the Son that comes out of Nazareth. I want you to know he went around doing good and healing everybody. So I walk in the mall, and the Lord puts a name of a woman inside of me by the name of Leah. And I said to the Lord, who's Leah? Sounds so Jewish. I said, who's Leah? And as I continued looking at this name being so strong in my mind, the Lord showed me there's a kiosk in the mall. They're going to open up in a moment. And you must go up there and bless the business. Just bless the business. So I walk up. Now there's nobody else in the mall. They're setting up now for when the people do come. And I see there is a lady over there, and I walk up to her and I say to, excuse me, good morning, how are you doing? You know, people with good manners always receive a good reception. It's your biggest hassle for getting on with God and even in business and your family is a haha attitude. You can say all that nice motivational stuff. Your attitude will determine your altitude. But for heaven's sake, you don't change. You mess up everything with a sour lemon face. Who wants to be so early in the morning meeting me and I look like this? The Lord has sent me to you. Stand still. She would tell me, security. I woke up to her and I says, it's wonderful to have a morning so early. I trust you had a good night's rest. You ready for your day? She says, yes, how can I help you? I said, no, I actually came here to bless your business, man. She says, I haven't even opened up yet. So I said, no, it's okay. And the moment she says it's okay, the Holy Spirit opens up with a word of knowledge in me. And I start telling her about a family, a home. And she looks at me and then she breaks, stops short. And she says to me, you know more the Torah than you know. I know it. My wife's Orthodox Jew. Because I didn't know what the name was. But you know how confident you feel after your ignorance is removed? And I said to her, is your name Leah? She says, when did I meet you? Where did I meet you? And I said, no, you're helping me now, man. Somebody spoke to me about you. I'll tell you later on, I said to her. And now I'm so convinced the person that spoke to me knows you. And she looks at me, she says, who's the person? I said, let me tell you something before I introduce you to him. Now I want to tell about the Holy Spirit and the Ruach, breath of God. And she looks at me and she says, just hang on, man. How do you know me? How do you know me? She says, no, you can't talk. I want all the staff to come here. So she takes the staff. She calls the staff. She says to all of them, Rose, all of you, just come closer. Come and see a man who is telling me everything about myself. Come and see a man. Me, what she might not have understood is, I just felt at that moment, my whole world started to move into another level of revelation. And the Holy Spirit said to me, it's not you who is calling her. It's only one person that had that experience to say, come and see a man who's told me everything about myself. And that's the woman at the well. I just made you meet a woman at the well. Because just so that you can understand, Jesus is living in you and he is the hope of glory. He is the hope of glory. There are sometimes instead of looking up, you got to look in. Because he's inside of you, the hope of glory. Go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2 to 3. I'm going to give you a strategy in a moment, and I want you to trust God that when you move from this place, obey it. Don't worry if it makes sense at the time you move. The moment you move once, twice, thrice, you'll start becoming naturally committed. You with me? In the beginning, everything that's new, it's always a challenge. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Can we just say it together? The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. I want you to see something. Let's say this is the waters. Listen what the Bible says. And darkness was over the face of the deep. Stay with me just for a moment. Let's say this is all the waters and this is the deep. What the Bible is saying, there was darkness like that covering it over the face of the deep. So the deep is not demonic. Because deep seeks deep. And when you want your business to flourish, launch out into the deep when Jesus speaks. Because in the deep, our 7 days of creation is underneath the darkness. So for God to remove the darkness, He has to remove it by the Holy Ghost. And it's important to see how He works to bring your potential suppressed by darkness. How does He bring it out? And when God looks at darkness, He sees an ability to bring light. Now, let me tell you, did you know no matter how much things are covering you, when God lifts it up, you then know your true potential coming out of it. The moment the darkness is lifted over Krugersdorp, you're going to know what a powerful place Krugersdorp really is. The moment the darkness is lifted over your life, all of a sudden you can say, God, I wish somebody told me about this when I was still 17 or when I was still 18. I wish somebody could have just told me how I was suppressed by darkness instead of, and then God uses light. Listen, and in that there is a very deep and wonderful way the Lord works. You know, that's why an eagle, I love the bird, but nevertheless, you see, eagles don't flock. It's not Moses. You know, eagles don't flock. You know what? You know what the hovering is? Oh man, may the Holy Ghost do it for us tonight. He's just standing like this, but he's not touching anything. Touching and not touching. That's the Holy Ghost. He's in the place. He's moving you, but not touching you. He's just. And you know what a bird in nature does when there's an egg, like the deep. Where there's an egg, the bird comes with its body onto the egg. But the body, the feathers move to take the shape of the egg. That's why when the Holy Ghost comes on you, He takes your shape. And He covers you. And He holds you. It doesn't matter what you look like. He loves you. Doesn't matter if you are 800 kilograms. He loves all of it. It's just not good for you. Unless you're in a rugby pack. But nevertheless. So, one man pushing the pack. But in any case. So when you look at him, do you know what happens? And I'm trusting God you'll get to this point when we get to the time of impartation. Is that the bird, the bird does not crack the egg at all. But the energy of the bird on that egg is developing something that's unseen. They ain't seen nothing yet. They don't know who you are until the Holy Ghost is going to show you. Unseen, He's developing you. He's pushing you to shape. In the meantime, inside that egg, feathers are growing. Inside that egg, a beak is shaping. Inside that egg, unseen stuff is being shaped. They might say you're not anointed. They might say you're not supposed to be where you are. They just don't know that you are still in the making for something much bigger than you would ever be able to describe. Why? It's not the egg I'm talking about. It's the one who's on the egg busy working. God is working in me right now. He's working in you right now. And you ain't seen nothing yet. He's going to lift the darkness so that you have revelation experience with Him. Listen. But what is He waiting for? What is the bird waiting for? Is waiting for a cry from the inside of the egg. That cry sounds like this. The beak is crowing, and the bird on the inside is saying, I need to get out of this. I need to get out. And it does this. When that bird hits the egg like this, the bird on top of the egg hears that sound. Because the bird on top of the egg, he's a wonderful, gentle lady. That's why the Holy Ghost is a helper, right? But in any case, when that bird hears that sound says to the mother, I want to come out. You're at a place right now, you're just tired of being limited. I'm coming out. And the Holy Ghost says, can I hear a sound from you? I just need to hear a sound that says, I'm coming out, Mom. Mom, I'm coming out. Dad, I'm coming out. The world will know I'm coming out. And then the Holy Ghost opens and cracks the egg. He cracks it at your permission. He's not forceful. That's why he guides you into all truth. Once he hears the sound, he cracks the egg. And all of a sudden, you're not flying yet, but you have the potential to fly. That's why you need discipleship. That's why you need the Global School of Ministry. We're going to build that school until you will know it's a school of revelation and not just information. You will learn to move with God in another level of His glory. That same old stuff must give way to the present truths of God. Has to do that. I mean, I'm just teaching things that God is saying. And some of you might have been at Bible school and said, hey, it's the first time I hear this, bro. Really, I don't know. Listen, this generation, without being arrogant, is loaded with Jesus. Why? We haven't stopped loving Him. And it's only to people that you fall in love with, you share secrets. I mean, who's your best friend? Wow. And God said, let me go there. Show you how the Holy Ghost doesn't move with this particular element in the meetings. Just to help you. God said, say with me, let there be light. And there was light. Now, there is no sun here. The sun is only coming here in day number 4. And God says, let there be light. And God, and the light be, light was, right? Now, to understand that what that light is, you got to let the scripture speak for itself rather than coming to blame Eskom for it, because Eskom doesn't have light right now after 10 o'clock, all right? But if I share with you what that light is, you will understand when Jesus speaks about being the light of the world, because that's the original intent, okay? Now, listen. Go to Revelation chapter 21, verse 22 and 23. This is John on the Isle of Patmos, and the Apostle John has a revelation of a new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And he says this, but I saw no temple in it. The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Verse 23. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. The Lamb is its light. You notice something? I said it to you last night. I'm not so sure it was now Sunday or when, but in the beginning is a person. Jesus is in the first line, and Jesus is in the third line to remove chaos. The Holy Ghost works best in chaos. He gets excited when there's chaos, because when he removes it, you can't turn it back to what it was. Look how chaotic your life was, and I mean, you look so cool tonight. Because the Holy Ghost took this chaos individual and turned order out of chaos. He brings our country is ready for a Holy Ghost visitation. Hear what I'm telling you. There's enough chaos for the bird of God, the fire of God, to change this nation. It's still gonna get worse, because the level of the glory that's coming must come out of the deep of their God, of their chaos. It's coming. That's why I don't even worry about where, what, how. I just know God is going to do it. So the Lamb is its light. So Prophet Leon, when God looks at the chaos and the darkness, he decides the only way to turn this around is not with the Messiah, yes, but with a certain character of the Messiah. And that is the Lamb. And the Lamb cannot be the Lamb without blood. So God changes nothing without the blood of the Lamb being there. You cannot move in the power of the Holy Ghost without the blood of Jesus. You cannot separate the Holy Spirit from the blood of the Lamb, because it's at the blood of the Lamb that the Messiah is glorified at Calvary's cross. You see, Calvary has blood in it, but Pentecost does not have blood in it. Calvary gives birth to the church from blood. The church was not born on the day of Pentecost. There's no blood at Pentecost. Adam's wife, you must always stick to the scriptures. Adam's wife comes out of his side, not out of his head. All right? And neither does Adam's wife have less power in the original intent of God. As when we fell, we made women second-rate citizens. Now we have a thing called woman's liberation. I wonder who put them in bondage in the first place. But God takes a woman out of the side of Adam, but Adam has to sleep. In other words, sleep to God is death. So God makes Adam die after he creates him. Because death did not start when Adam sinned. Stay with me. Death started long before Adam sinned. Because sin brings death, isn't it? So when Lucifer sinned, death entered heaven. So God has to come with blood, because death existed before he said, "Let there be lights." And so when he walks into the garden, he comes up to his most prized possession, called a man, which is in his mind for the sixth day. And then he does something. He says, "Let there be light." So what does he do? He brings the Lamb into chaos. That's what he did with you. He asked you to ask forgiveness so he can clean you up. Doesn't change anything. Jesus didn't change anything. Jesus spoke 3,000 scriptures from the Old Covenant. I don't know who's so silly to say the Old Covenant is not important. How will you know who Jesus is without Isaiah? Don't let them take the Word of God and separate it for convenience sake. Most people correct people on opinions, never on the scriptures. Trust they would go there. So God says, "Let there be light." I'm going to show you number one. Go to verse 4. Say with me, God saw the light, that it was good. My goodness. You know, when I move with the Holy Spirit and the blood of the Lamb is in the place and the glory of God that comes with that light, I tell you, even God the Father is a good meeting. This is a good meeting. Neville, this is a good meeting. Neville, I tell you, when you take the blood into your family with all six of your grandchildren and you look at them and they don't understand you, and I say to them, "All of you had a good wash today. I see you all had a good hairdo, but I'm coming with the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to clean up your spirit." Because you see, all these wonderful perfumes you use cleans up the outer man, but the stuff we need to clean up the inner man so God can have fellowship with you comes by the blood of Jesus. Daily have the blood clean you up. Daily. That's why we don't preach on the blood anymore, you know? And we don't understand. Say with me, God saw. So your first place of moving with the Holy Spirit is God said. That's the word. You're going to have word in you, not just feelings. The word of God needs to be in you. I like the way when I listened to Martin tonight, how he could quote the scriptures. I mean, let me tell you something. If you didn't catch precious seed just because you think it's an offering, you might have missed the partnership of that which is natural with that which is supernatural to be conceived, to bring forth something bigger than what you sowed. And you might have missed it because you think it's about money. See, you got to hear God with ears of the Spirit. But listen, so number one is the Word of God. So when God, that's why you see we teach the Word. And then we move with signs, wonders, and miracles. And the greatest sign is, of course, your salvation. People healed of cancer can still go to hell. But people healed of sin can have cancer and still go to heaven. Yeah. Number two, you got to have a God said. Now, you don't have to look for a God said for sickness and disease, because Jesus said, Isaiah prophesied. Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel and these signs. You see, we're not a generation seeking signs or looking for signs. Signs are looking for us. Whenever we move, these signs shall follow you. So we don't follow signs. Signs follow you because of the Christ. Listen. And God saw. So the next thing after the word of God, you got to see something. But it's not the natural seeing like you and I are talking about. The word saw here is a Hebrew word that says God looks at the things that are not visible. And he brings them out of the unseen into the seen. That's how God looks at it. So when I'm praying for you, brother, I'm not praying for what I see. I'm praying for the things that you don't see about yourself. I call the things about you that you think, my goodness, what is this? I tell you, Gideon, hear me. Mighty man of valor. What do you mean, mighty man of valor? I'm just poor. I'm even a wine press, threshing wheat in a wine press, not even grapes. So poor am I. But I call you a mighty man of valor. Oh, I think, Gideon, you don't understand. I see you inside the egg and I understand you're a bird while you just see you just a little embryo. I'm looking at you in your end so that I can bring you to your end from your beginning. Because in your beginning is your end and in your end is your beginning. This is God. When God moves, he doesn't see how many times you failed. He sees how many times he's taken your failure to produce what he wants. For God works, God works, God works, God works. All things together for good to them who love him. Sometimes your wife can leave you, your husband can leave you. God didn't leave you. You can get her back any day, brother. It's like some brother said to me, hey, pastor, I want you to pray for me. I lost my love for my wife, really. Brother, if you lose something, you can find it. Go find that love and go back home. Works like that. The word for in Hebrew means to see things the way God sees them. Look at 2 Corinthians. Don't go. Let me just quote it just for sake of time. While we do not look at the things which are seen, that's why you don't pray for cancer to leave. You see the cancer. You check the face looking funny. You can't see a healed person. You got to be like Jesus. Do you know what Jesus says to Martha and Mary in the house? He says, if you believe, you will ra'ah, meaning you will see. This word ra'ah in the Bible is only used with prophetic utterances. Because it means you can bring something in the future. You bring it into the now. And only God can bring something that's supposed to have happened 10 years and bring it tonight to your feet. He's the only God that can do that. He's the only God that can go into your yesterday and change it while you're standing in your today. And while you are in your today, he can change tomorrow before you get there. That's why you hear all these testimonies of people that come from nothing. Let me tell you why. I got to say this. You know, when you have a dream, don't give up because it's not working. God has to kill it. He can't be your resurrection if you're still alive. He kills that dream. And when death comes in, don't give up. Just hang 10. Take a Kit Kat or something. But just stick in there. Why? Because when he resurrects your dream, nobody can stop it. Nobody can deny that God had called you, that God had placed inside of you something that's bigger than death. So he comes. Every dream has a birthplace. Every dream. It's exciting when it's born. And then every dream must die. That's the Christ. And there will be a resurrection. I talk about my own experiences. But Jesus says to Mary and Martha, really, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see things the way God sees it? God sees Lazarus coming out. You don't. I need to shift you from another level of seeing. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Rather 29. We won't have time to go through everyone. I'm going to name them for you. Just make notes if you can. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 29 says, "And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food." You notice how he says in Genesis chapter 1, you see, throughout all of this, God's name is Elohim, which means he's the God of creation. But when he comes to Adam, it's not Elohim. It's the Lord God said, which means it's the covenant name of God when it comes to you and I, not the creator name of God. He changes the name because it changes the character. That's why when I move with the Holy Ghost, I ask, what's the name, when the Holy Spirit leads? Because your destiny is locked up in your name. Take, for example, Abram. God says, I can't work with you being Abram. Because AB of your name stands for father. But RAM means you want to be a leader exalting yourself. So I'm going to change you to Abraham. Because AB in the front of your name means Abba, meaning father. AM at the end of your name means nations. RAH in your name is for you to see the nations the way I see them. And once you can see them the way I see them, you're going to fall in love with that man whose methylated spirits is stopping you from grabbing him and holding him. But you will know how much I will hug him. You will walk up to a rich man and make him feel he doesn't have everything without Christ. But I want the rich, I want the poor, I want the educated, I want the uneducated. And don't treat everything that doesn't get blessed as if it's a mission field. You are the mission field in any case. Every man needs Jesus. So when you look at this, for those, notice something. God uses a different word when he says, and see, behold, I give you. Wow. Do you notice everything that he tells you about here is things that's in the earth? So he uses the word hine, meaning your provision doesn't come from the things that are unseen. Your provision comes from the things that are seen. I put everything in the earth. Did you notice something? How long is the earth here? There's still enough gold. I mean, does gold grow? There's still enough for everybody. Because, you know, government money is dollars and rands and cents. Those are government money. But the true money of the kingdom is gold and silver. Oh, yes. Why do you think my surname is Goldman? Take these down. We're finishing. Take these down. Number one, when you move with the Holy Ghost, make sure the blood of the Lamb is in the place. Make sure that the Holy Spirit finds holy environments. He's not the Spirit, he's the Holy Spirit. That is why he comes and he cleans me up so that holiness can meet with holiness. And when we have fellowship with holiness, he tells me how unclean I am. Then I become like Isaiah and I say, wow, I'm a man of unclean lips. Clean me up. Clean me up, God. And then when he touches me, you know, Isaiah was so forward. I mean, this meeting wasn't even about him. The Lord is asking the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is having a meeting. And the Lord is asking in the meeting, who can we send for us? It's got nothing to do with him. God is big enough to call Isaiah. And say, Isaiah, listen, we want to send you. No, God is asking, which one of us do you think should go? That was for Jesus to say, send me, here am I. Send me, here am I. But Isaiah has the fire of God on his lips. He's touched by the fire of God from an altar, because you can come to the altar, but if you're not a sacrifice on the altar, you will have no fire. Because every altar must have a sacrifice and must have fire. and must bring God's glory into the place. That's why when you look at the glory of God coming because of the anointing and the Holy Spirit, it's so wonderful. Number one, God has the Holy Ghost. Wait, he gets the blood ready, then he speaks. Then after he speaks, he then does something very powerful. He then brings revelation. So that's why when we move and we pray, you don't know what's next. Just like all of a sudden God opens up something and we move in that space and we just trust him with it. You ask me, how do I know that? Folk, why do we complicate it when we ask if God speaks, you know? Wow, let me, is that bottle closed, prophet? Is that a closed, just a closed one? Yeah, bring a closed one. Rushai, come around here, just fill my glass, man. It looks a bit thirsty. Just fill the glass for me. I'm so glad these are not in the, it's not in the Bible. You can't do this. You know? Yeah, just the way you feel like it. Okay. Do you notice something? One thought from me makes him leave his chair. His whole body moves with an instruction from one part of what I say. He then doesn't run into preaching. You get most of those people, God called me. And they, all of a sudden I'm an evangelist. No, listen. How long have you been with God before he sends you? Have you built a culture to pray? Have you built a culture? You're so mad at nobody asking you to preach because God never asked them to let you preach because you've never been with him. You got one touch from the Holy Ghost and then you think you can start the church. Whew. But you know what? One thought from God creates a movement, not an event. And a movement means you are on the way all the time to keep moving because God is a moving God. Today he tells you, listen, what we did in the days of Smith Wigglesworth was powerful, but what we are going to do today cannot be measured with what was happening in that space of time. I'm going to take every human being that wants to move in my glory, that wants to move with what I want and do the way I do things. I will let them hear my voice, and they will have ears to hear what the Spirit of God has to say. Thanks, Ruche. Now listen. Oh, this is so nice. That's exactly what God does. I bring him my worship and he consumes it. And then he tells me, you still need some changing. It didn't taste the way it should. Change me, Jesus. He says, Neville, because when you meet people, I don't want them to receive a contaminated ministry. Why? I've called you to be fishers of men. Why didn't he call you to be a hunter of men? Why fishers of men? Because the land is cursed. And the animals was under that curse. That's why they needed to get into Noah's ark. But the land was cursed. It's the land that will bring thorns and thistles. But the ocean was never cursed by God. So when he calls you, he gives you an uncontaminated ministry to be a fisher, not a hunter. So he gives you a pure ministry. And when he looks at you tonight, this is him. He says, number one, when you now move with the Holy Ghost, the atmosphere is set. Worship, the Lamb is in the place. Number one, move with the God said. Number two, work with the revelation of the Spirit. And number three, separate yourself. God divided. See, God said, God saw, God divided. Don't be part of the sickness and disease. Separate yourself. Be healed in Jesus' name. Don't go like this. You know, I also went through this. Really? Jesus didn't say, go tell him you went through this. Jesus, in my name, cast out devils. Get rid of it. Don't impress them with your pain. Impress them with His healing. Are you with me? And then secondly, He separated them. And then look what the Bible says so beautifully. You know, when you separate yourself, you know what Moses asked them? And I'm going to trust God for you in this. Do you know what Moses asked Jesus? Well, the Father, rather. He said, if I don't want to go without your presence. Because how are the people going to know that you are with us without your presence? And the Lord said to him, my presence will go with you. And then Moses' response is, if your presence does not go with us, do not take us up from here. For how then will it be known in Krugersdorp? How then will it be known in Centurion that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? The church that has the presence of God will be persecuted, but you cannot stop us. You cannot stop us. We are hungry for the presence of God, because the presence of God has everything you need. Neville Goldman cannot heal you, cannot deliver you, but the one who is with me will break the chains of the enemy, destroy the strongholds of darkness. Why? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Why? For the Lord was with him. That's why when you step into this environment, separate yourself from negative people who have no word in them. Why? The devil is only scared of you because you are the son of God. Not because you can go, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. And yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, let me tell you, that doesn't move the devil. What does move him? If that has the Holy Ghost on it. Because if that has the Holy Ghost on it, you don't know what can come out of this. Because this bird brings stuff out of a seed that you haven't seen before. You don't even know what it looks like. You look okay tonight. You just don't know what you will look like when he's finished with you. They might have called me. They might have said, yes, you've come out of Satanism. What they can't say tonight is, they thought I would never come right. But look what God has done. God, I forgive men for their ignorance, because they just don't know you. They just don't know you. But we are hungry for your presence. We are hungry for your glory. We are hungry to see other people find life. Can you just take your seat for a second? Brother, man, Prophet Leon, I'm feeling that vibe now for that guy with the evangelism thing. What's his name? I haven't. Kalelo. Where? I'm not so sure if I can see him. What happened to the other guy that sat here? Did he come up here? No, let me find him. No, yeah, come here, brother. Come here. Yeah. My God. You know what? Let me tell you something today. By the grace of God, there's two of you. I don't see the other guy. I said to the Lord before I leave, I said to Prophet, before I leave, I just need to tell you and the other brother, when you see the other brother, I want you all just to pray for God to continuously release a strong evangelical anointing that's going to come upon him. For souls need to be saved. Let me tell you, for you personally, I watched you. You see, I had two of you and the other gentleman. Today, while I was busy praying, your faces came up like that before me. And I said to the Lord, what is this? And the Lord opened up this to me. Let me tell you something. You see the word, eat it. Until you can feel it's uncomfortable. But when you get out of there, do exactly what I've said tonight. You step out with that word and that devil comes up against you and you look at him and he says, if you are the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. You let him know that miracles don't make me the Son of God. What does make me the Son of God is God said I'm his son. God said I'm his son. Through Christ, I am that. Secondly, when you start moving with leadership, whatever prophet gives you to do, multiply it. Multiply it. Don't maintain it. How old are you?
32.
Wow. You know the number 32 is the number of 5. 3 plus 2 is 5. It simply means be faithful in word, thought, and action. That's the ministry. Word, thought, and action. Never just believe God, learn to know that God said it. And when you step into knowing, step away from being theoretical, be a doing God. You know why greatness comes to people like Philip? Is because when they were given an instruction. Now, I just want you to feed the widows here. No, I don't think God called me to feed the widows, man. I'm supposed to be an apostle. That's how I feel. Don't give me parcels, food parcels to hand out. And then you still go, I don't want to hand out the food parcel. Let me help you with something. If you were in the early church, Peter, James, and John will say, are you ready to give out food parcels? And you will probably say, yes, it'd be great. You know what they're going to say to you? You need the Holy Ghost. They're going to tell you like that because they're not the generation that wants to see activity, a lot of activity with no fire. No, if you're going to put food into a Grecian woman's house as a Jew, we expect you to reveal to her the Christ by the Holy Ghost being upon you. So when they receive the food parcel, they will see Jesus and they will be reminded the Messiah is still alive after the 3 days. He's risen from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Bring Jesus to your generation. By the word of God, lift your hands up for him. Father, in the name, is your wife here? Where's your wife? Woman, come quickly. What's her name? Oh, my goodness, even worse. Paige, it's a new Paige today. It's a new Paige. You see, wow. And your name? No, man, are all these people Bible people? Let me tell both of you this. You see, your name Luke is not like Dr. Luke in the Bible. The L of your name means you're a man of order. And you want potential to come out. But your wife, God is going to use her speaking. That's why you notice something, she speaks a lot. She's going to tell you, whoa, wait, huh? But in any case, it's their right, brother. It's their privilege. They have to speak. But Paige, her name starts with the voice of speaking, but it moves through a level of overcoming the death of a desert. An overcomer in your ministry, when you serve in this house, serve like you own it. Serve with the highest level of servanthood. Why am I saying to you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not about how big you are. Let me say to you, servants, not servants who are trying to be sons. It's his sons who are servants. No, Moses had his time to be a servant, but he was faithful in all of God's house. But Jesus was a son that owned the house. You see, servants look for a salary. Sons look for an inheritance. But when you look at God, when you look at him, let me tell you how the balance is of a son who serves. It's servants that get close to royalty. That's the other paradox of it. The person that cleans the queen's bedroom don't need an appointment to see the queen. That servant knows she didn't brush her teeth. She didn't comb her hair. The bed is still not made up.
When we are sons who serve, royalty is never absent. That's why you are a royal priesthood. Amen. And I want to say to you, I'm going to pray for you. Then I want you to get ready. Everybody. But you're not going to leave here without the commitment to say, and they went, they went, they went, they went about doing. Amen. Healing, delivering. And you will see the manifestation of God. And then when God does that for you, don't be so unwise. I just got a call today, prophet. I prayed for the same lady that God used me to touch when she was about to die. Funerals, arrangements, blah, blah, blah. And I was 3 months old in Jesus. And the Lord does today, she phones me. She says, hey, you prayed for me because there was another bout of cancer that came. And I said, but I told you, I don't see cancer. I see the healing. And she said to me, that's why I'm phoning you. I tell you, there's no pain. I feel good. I just want you now to meet my other sister. She wants to see you badly. So I said, not a problem. When I'm back home, we can make arrangements. What am I saying? Don't, after the first healing that you nearly raised the dead, all of a sudden you're too big to submit to nobody. Don't be unwise. It's the one who rides the donkey that's getting you the attention. Don't let the donkey think it's him. You'll go back again to be tied up. Just trying to help you. Are you ready? I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost. Lift your hands up. Rabo Shanda Rabaka Satanda. Father, the greatness. You're going to build and bring to pass the things of God that only God can do. From your head right down to your feet. It shall be so. It shall be so. Nothing is going to stop the glory of God. I want